Happy Women's Day, Beth.
Hi. Happy Women's Day, Scott.
Do I get that too? Does that count?
You came from a woman.
I did.
You are allowed to celebrate International Women's Day.
All right, I'll take it. I will take anything I can celebrate. So I feel like, you know, Women's Day is a great time to talk about Travis Kalanick.
No? Do you?
No, it's not. It's a terrible time. But like at this point, with all the stuff that's gone on, is there ever a good time to talk about Travis Kalanick?
I don't know. Tell me what he's up to.
Okay, so I have a mini rant. I'm going to warn you.
Okay,
but you're going to have as many ranting as you want against Travis Kalanick.
Wonderful.
So he started a new fund. In case people are aware, he got pushed out of Uber. He's got a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he's starting a new fund. And that's not unique or special to really anybody. Everyone seems to be starting a fund these days, whether they got $5 or $5 million or $5 billion. But what is interesting about it is he is taking a focus on job creation. He's only looking for things that are going to create jobs. It's not about finding the next app that's going to launch and people are going to make billions and nobody has a job.
What kind of jobs?
I didn't read that far into it.
Okay, cool.
I'm not going to lie. No, you know what? Like, here's the thing. So I would say they're. I'm just on a hunch. It didn't say this in the article. My guess is very Uber-ish. So like you can argue that Uber took jobs from some people, but also did create, even though there's a bunch of reports out saying that people who drive Uber don't make very much money after expenses, whatever, which is true.
And there's still a wage gap. Did you see that?
Yes, I did, which is just crazy. Amazing how that works. I'll leave that part alone.
Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement that the shared gig economy, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, is a thing that's going to be here for a while, and it's going to be the only place for some people to make a living. And so him focusing on different types of companies and things that will potentially bring jobs to me, I'm in for, and which leads into my kind of mini rant here, which is that, you know, whether it's Chicago or it's LA or it's New York or it's anywhere in the world, there is this founder, I don't even know what it was, like sociopath is the word I always use, but like I don't mean it, but like there's this like self-centeredness, this like cape on that I can do whatever I want and I'm trying to get rich. It's all get rich quick, get rich this, how can I screw people over and make money? And I look at it like when I see people, and I'm not saying Travis is a good guy by any stretch, when I see people who are trying to create wealth, it makes me feel good to know that there are still people out there who get that in an economy. Mm-hmm. You can't just be out there for yourself trying to get yourself rich and your parents rich and that's the deal. You have to, if you want to make an impact, you have to create jobs, you have to create wealth. What I love most about Chicago and the entrepreneurs who have been successful is the Chris Gladmans of the world. He made 80 millionaires when he sold Cleversafe.
Yeah.
80 millionaires. When you talk to Chris Gladman, that's all he talks about. He doesn't care how much. I don't even know how much money he got out of it. I don't know if anyone does.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see that Travis thinks, it's like, I mean, he's made a lot of bad moves. He's made a lot of good moves, but he's made a lot of bad moves. He could have just as easily said, I got all this money and I'm just going to throw it around and get richer and richer and then I'll buy back in.
Yeah.
I'll Steve Jobs my way back in. And he didn't. And I want to give him, like, maybe I'm the only one to give him.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. For right now. Yeah. He's not on the shit list.
I think that the wealth creation is great. Wealth distribution
would be better.
Of that creation is even better.
Well, so. And I think the only way to start there is the jobs. I mean, there's a lot of political stuff that needs to go on to get to that. Because as you mentioned, there's still a wage gap, even though it's through an app, which is just absolutely mind-boggling. And there's another conversation and topic that we're going to get into.
Wait a minute, wait a turn, minute. On the radio.
Turn on the radio.
My homie got a new show and it's time to play
it's
it though.
Time to play
I
it
hope
right.
you got in tune.
Got
he
in
talking
tune.
Bigger business.
Big
he
biz.
Make a lot of moves. He talking Scott Catoon. I'm saying wait a minute.
With our guest, we're going to learn a lot about her company, Jasmine Shells, first. But one topic that I actually read about that I thought would be very interesting. Jasmine, welcome to the show.
Hi.
First and foremost.
Yeah, thanks for having
co-founder
me.
Co-founder of 5to9. We have a funny story in our own right about how you even got to this thing here when we were sitting at WeWork.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a good little story.
Good times.
But I had this conversation kind of quickly with Emil Cambry, and I thought, you know what, we had you come on the show. I was like, this is a great conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Also leading off of the conversation we had at WeWork.
Yeah.
There's a book coming out called Three Kings, and it's about P. Diddy, Dr. Dre.
Oh, those three kings.
These three
I was
kings.
Thinking like, you know, Jesus, like the three kings.
You know what's funny? When I saw Three Kings, this is
hip-hop mogul. Let's get on the real track.
Got it.
And of course, Jay-Z.
Uh-huh.
When the funny thing is, when I actually misheard, when I was listening to this radio station talking about the book, I misheard and thought they said Three Candles. And I was like, that's a weird name.
Lights of the World.
But when Sam, my producer, told me it was Three Kings, I was like, you mean like the movie with Mark Wahlberg? Like, that's how far away from Jesus I have floated.
I mean, nobody knows what it means, but it's provocative.
Hey, I'll tell you this. Here's the deal. The book, this is a very interesting conversation. There is a lot of, I guess, in like hip-hop culture and also in just like a younger generation, you know Jay-Z and Diddy and the rest because of music and you know Beats and you know the clothing Sean John and you know Rockaware and you know, what is it, Rock Nation, the agency they have.
Mm-hmm. Ciroc.
Yeah, oh yes, oh, of course, Ciroc. P. Diddy was pushing that at every club he ever went to.
Yeah,
making,
right.
But brilliant, so that's a good segue, Beth. Brilliant. P. Diddy recognized that having something like Ciroc should have been on the top shelf. That's how people will look at it, as the top shelf. It doesn't matter if it's good. If it's on the top shelf at the club, it's good. And they have made billions. Between the three of them, there's almost $3 billion. Mm-hmm. And they get no respect and no credit when it comes to the entrepreneurship. The conversation still goes back to famous because of rap, famous because of a songwriter, famous because of this, famous because of that. And there's no question that there's a race issue going on there, but there's also sort of a, well, you're not a financer, you're not a Harvard guy. And it is completely, we talked about this with Jason William Johnson as well from Chicago Urban League on the show a couple weeks ago. There is like, I just absolutely can't wait for this book to get out, because these dudes have made mm-hmm. billions of dollars on absolutely brilliant decisions. There's no luck involved. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it'd be interesting to talk to you a little bit more about like how you view it as like people who, were they entertainers that were put in good fortune, or were they entertainers that you felt like from the very beginning you thought, wow, like I look up to them. I look up to the way that they build their businesses.
Yeah, I think particularly like talking about Jay-Z. So if you listen to his 444 album,
yeah.
He talks like this album's so different because he's talking about real shit. It's not about like, oh yeah, I'm trying to get money and bitches. Like if right. I could say that on here,
it's too late.
Totally just did. But he's talking a lot about generational wealth, yep. right? Mm-hmm. So how people talk down about Jay-Z, they call him ugly. They say he's not good enough to be with Beyonce. There's literally like this quote, he says, there's no such thing as an ugly billionaire. I'm cute. Favorite line.
But that's a good quote.
He talks a lot about building wealth within the black community, right? Yeah. And how building wealth isn't going to be by taking that job on the corner or by, you know, making those wrong decisions. It's literally by like hustling, taking something that you're good at and turning that into a business.
Right.
And he talks about this in 444. So I definitely do think that, yeah, them being famous like helps them. But if you consider where he came from.
But there's a lot of famous people too, though.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
are not billionaires.
It's still competition. But where he came from, his background, how he was able to learn about business to create something sustainable for himself and his family.
50 Cent made $300 million in vitamin water and he's broke.
Insane. But yeah. But it's still great like, that he made the money.
Course,
he just didn't know how to be a good steward
of it. But it's like, it's just, but the point is like, there's a lot of decisions that have to happen between a million and a hundred right. million, a hundred million, a billion.
Yeah, Jay-Z is a businessman.
Oh, 100%. And I think Diddy, I think he is literally playing the roadmap that Tupac put in front of him. Mm-hmm. I think if Tupac hadn't gotten shot, that's like what we're looking at. That was, if you listen to any of his albums, all of it talks about changing the way that people view us, changing the way people look at how I do business. He, and I look at Diddy and I literally watch him like, that's a Tupac move.
Yeah.
Like, other than the changing the name five times. That's a stupid move. But Tupac,
he has to stay relevant, you know?
Right.
Puff Daddy was relevant enough to me. I didn't need Diddy. I don't know.
I might have
Diddy.
To change my name. Jasmine is getting too plain.
No. Our first
like
producer
Shells,
I ever had
was
Jasmine. I like that.
Jananimous, maybe. Like
Jazzy Shells.
Yeah,
you
something
can do
like that.
You can do something. You'll play with
gotta
it.
Gotta switch it up.
No, it was just, it's an interesting conversation. I think it's a conversation that we're going to see more of. The next sort of generation of this kind of stuff you're going to see is in the athletes. You see Kobe Bryant, Alex Rodriguez, Israel Adonijé locally, Ryan Mundy locally, Hunter Hillemeyer locally, and more and more and more. You're starting to see people realize that, you know, you don't have to just look this certain way and go to Harvard to become successful in business. It's just opportunity.
And the next generation is looking at these as role models. They're, you know, the board members of Fortune 500 companies are not the role models of the future generation.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. I think there's nothing better than like the kids that you teach, Beth. I think for them to look.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Both, like, of course, both ways. Yeah. The kids that you guys influence, for them to see that you can have, like we talk about this all the time with the events, the equity crowdfunding, the fact that you can start a company without having to raise money from some rich old bald dude makes it easy for you to be like, you know what, I don't need this. And I got my start. All you need is a foot in the door and then it's off to the races.
Yeah, because like the way that our educational system runs, right, it's all about rewarding those who are the A-plus students.
It's
like,
running?
Well, that was a good one right there. I see what you did. But yeah, it really rewards like the students who are the teacher's pet, who do the best like in class. So, you know, when I got to work in schools, I'm pretty sure Beth can talk a lot about this as well. And I always look for like those students who were like really scrappy and like, you know, always wanted to participate, but maybe weren't like the best in terms of being the teacher's
creatives,
pet.
Right.
Yeah. But they were leaders. Like they really stood out to me. And you could see that they had like that entrepreneurial spirit. So it was like also making sure that we're reaching to those kids and saying, hey, like you have something. You don't have to get straight A's to like be successful in life.
I see student myself through Northwestern. That's no bullshit. I carried C's in graduate school, and you don't need like being a great student is overrated.
Yes,
it just
I'd rather learn.
Yeah. Attentive. Yes,
I think learning should be the emphasis, not for sure. Perfecting.
Right.
And we'll switch into 5 to 9. But like how what is one thing, both sides here? Like what is one thing you think would be an easy, not systemic, crazy, not ever going to happen change? What would be one thing that you could tweak in the classroom that would make the focus, the advantage swing a little bit towards the heart, the people who just have more intangibles, should we say? Or is that, are we past that?
Let me think.
Yeah.
I don't know, Beth, you have any ideas?
I think it's based on student interest. So we've got core curriculum that is guiding so much of, you know, standards of learning, testing, and they're learning how to check boxes. But if students were able to like co-create their lesson plans, they'd be so much more interested in the topics that they're studying, be relevant to what they're learning, and be more passionate about what they're bringing home and taking and putting into practice in their own lives.
The cool curve.
The cool curve.
Yeah, we're going to call it the cool curve.
This
isn't a popularity contest. It's a cool curve. You all know it. You had a kid in the class. It's not the clown. It's not the popular kid, the athlete. It's like there's that one kid, could be the biggest loser in the class, that for whatever reason, you're just like, that's a cool kid. Like, he just says funny stuff, or she just says, like, she just is, like, she works. I don't know. There's something weird. Like, you know what I'm talking about. You can see it.
Yeah.
There's charisma. Certain kids, you're just like, I mean, I actually think the kid's kind of dumb, but cool.
But he's cool. I like that.
So it's like the rest of the curve is like, you're like a C student, but everyone else is an A. So, like, you're all a B because you're not the cool kid.
I see what you did there. Yeah. You know, something I think that would be really neat is if students had more opportunities just to apply things. Like,
that would,
instead of just, like, learning, like, actual application. Mm-hmm. And I think like if schools could give grants to students to be able to do that, and if they
super
wanted to
cool.
start a business, if they wanted to, you know, go like intern somewhere or work somewhere, just like give them some money or some funding or just the ability to go apply things.
So you went and dropped something that's actually real, that's doable. I went with the cool shit, which doesn't do anything. But you bring up a topic, Beth, I think you saw this post. I want to share it right now as well. Shamari Walker, who we gave an award to when he came to Technori, he won $5,000 for his business. He's a high school student who literally like kept his parents from losing their house.
Wow.
He has all kinds of different things that he's overcome that I won't get into. Yeah. He got accepted into Stanford's academic institute program over the summer.
Yes.
Cost $6,000 to get there and do it, and he doesn't have the money. So he's running a GoFundMe. He's from Hammond, Indiana. Mm-hmm. The link is on our Technori page. I'll share it again after this show. But anyone who can help out, whether it's sponsors, people listening, whatever, he needs to get this money. He's got to the end of March. Mm-hmm. He needs to go to this. Like, this kid is super smart. Yeah. He started a development company, taught all on his own. Like, the whole thing is completely self-driven, and I'd love to find a way. If I had the money in my pocket, I would cut myself to like get him there, because I think it's a good example of what needs to happen. Is you see a kid who's in high school, it's like, yes, would Stanford help this kid from Hammond? Of course.
Right.
But what's more important is that he goes to the institute stuff to work on his business, because that's what he's going to be doing when he comes out. Like, that's the deal. So, great example, great point. Yeah. We'll segue into your actual business, which is also important. 5 to 9. Your co-founder's not here to keep my shit in check. So I'll run
She's
amok.
She's watching you, though. She's watching you.
I believe it. I believe it. So let's learn a little bit about 5 to 9 and talk a little more about that.
Yeah, for sure. So, You know, Jasmine, the co-founder and CEO of 5to9, and what we are is a social wellness platform that helps connect professionals over experiences. And the reason why we do that, especially for the millennial professionals, you see that about 70% of them relocate for new opportunities or job experiences. And up to, they'll have up to like four jobs by the time they're in their early 30s, right? Yeah. So you consider this generation that's not afraid to move, that's not afraid to relocate. But you know that if you do take that other job, you do go to this other city, there's an excitement in that, but also the places that you knew, the people that you knew, they don't come with you. Now, maybe you don't want them to come with you, which is another
mostly
thing.
The case, yeah.
But it's hard to kind of start afresh. So 5to9, we really look at how can we plug you into instant community, right? Connect you with like-minded professionals, but then also kind of serve as like the tour guide of your city. So we really care not just about like what's your 9 to 5, what's your profession, but what are the things that empower you to do that job like after hours?
I was just going to say, where did the name come from? I was like, I try to look at the names of the companies of people who come through here, and I'm like, I don't want to look at the bio of the company, the mission statement. I want to just like figure out what they were thinking. And I was like, 5 to 9. So this has got to be like a morning thing, like five. What do you do from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m.? Like, I didn't know what the play was. Like, where was it? Just the flip on it? Was it literally the pawn?
It's just really the flip on, like, when you think about conversations today, like, when you first meet someone, probably one of the first questions you're going to ask is, what's your name? And then second, you're going to say, oh, so what do you do? Right? Everything's so focused around your career validating, like, who you are as a person. Yeah. But what about what I care about? What about, like, what I'm passionate about? What about what I truly value and what interests me? And in our culture, I think that's something that I really care about shifting, because in other cultures, it's sometimes actually considered rude to ask someone, so what do you do? Right. So
yeah. I have a legitimate problem with this, not the company, with the conversation, like you're talking about, because there's like the name thing immediately comes with the here's my business card thing, which just makes me twitchy. So I no longer carry a business card. I'm just like, I'm done with it.
Yeah. I'll find you on LinkedIn.
You know, we do live in a digital age. Yes, like you can
stop
Google
cutting
me.
Down trees.
Seriously,
to
you
tell
can
me who you are.
That said, I do have a great business card. I'm not going to bullshit you. I have a wonderful business card. It's
I'll
very
be the
thick.
Judge of that.
It's very full. He might have one of them with
prove
me.
Prove it.
It's
Bethana, we're calling you out.
It is. There's many tree leaves that have died for it. It's a great thick, very. No, I just got crushed by whoever does environmental stuff. I just dislike it. I feel like it's a judgmental placism thing where it's like this is who you are in the box that you fill in. Like, you're not in the things that I'm trying to check off, so I'm done. They tune out immediately.
Sure. Yeah.
So like the two things that I've always, and this is before Technoria in the show, this is like, it didn't matter if I was just like right out of college. I would literally tell people like, I'm an auto mechanic. I just make shit up. Like, fly
my
airplanes.
My brother does that. It's so funny.
It's amazing. And then, I do it at this point, I do it for fun. Cause like I go to events and people already know who I am. And like, I'm not that guy. Like, I'm somebody, I try to pretend to be somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And I make it up to see how they react. Like literally
this.
A couple minutes later, like, oh, okay, well, I gotta get my
I gotta go, Mike.
Like, I don't need a fill up, so you're no good.
Yeah.
And it, like, that stuff just drives me absolutely nuts. And so, I think anything that we can do to kind of change the way that whole thing takes place would be just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause if you even consider, like, companies and this idea of bringing your whole self to work.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials, like the future generations, like people want to come to work as they are. They don't want to come to work as like this employee.
Yeah.
They want to bring the whole thing because we're spending more and more time at work anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's like if we can't think about what our employees value or what people value just in general, then we're missing the boat.
Well, and proof of concept, right? I mean, the way that you and I officially met, I know we met before that, but like officially met and had a conversation at WeWork.
Mm-hmm.
We were at a networking event, should have exchanged like, here's my card, here's your card. I'd love to get on the show. That'd be fantastic. And it was like, I don't think we talked about it at the very end. It was like, oh yeah. And then like the business came, like we spent most of the time. I can't even talk about the stuff we
talked
about.
We cannot talk. Like, I want us to talk about what we talked about,
but we can't. We next
it was
time,
ratchet. It was kind of ratchet.
It was there was drinks next time.
Okay, after we turn off the mics.
Yeah, that's
be WGN after dark. Like
it would be that show should if it doesn't exist, I'm hosting it.
Yeah, hey, please, let's make it happen.
With drinks.
But like that goes a long way to like this conversation happened not because you were like, I have this company, it's cool, you should see it. It was because we connected on a conversation that we both cared about and was like, oh, it got a little out of hand, but it was still like interesting enough. I was like, you know what? I'll have a conversation with you about anything.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, and we also do this. And I was like, given how you approach this conversation, that's not a surprise, like at all.
Yeah. So, you know, we really want to be, you know, that company for the millennial professional, right? So no matter where you move, we're just in Chicago now, but as we expand, that you'll be surrounded by a dope community of other professionals, but then you'll also get to see what are some of the hidden gems like in your new home, right? So that's like what we really strive to do. So individuals like can sign up and be a part of our platform. But within the past quarter, we actually started working with companies. Mm-hmm. And the reason why was because we saw, well, majority of the people on our platform, 80%, are transplants, have relocated. And then we were like, oh, wow. And they said they would love to have something like this at their company. So we're like, let's start helping companies with this, because for us, employee wellness, employee engagement is more than just financials, right, and health and, you know, whatever else you want to talk about, but social connectivity in the workplace is just as important.
We mentioned it before, it's a digital world with LinkedIn. We need to get away, like the social stuff is good for data. Give me my information, lock it away. Yeah. We need to get away from this like networking. I know we do it with Technori, but like it sucks. I hate the networking thing, because it's just, people need it. I get it, but like we've got to find better ways to connect with people. The whole lining up and just being like, meh, what do you do?
That's step one, right?
Yeah,
step two is in real life. Like if you're entering a new industry and you want to talk to a couple of different thought leaders, that's your best entry point, is digital.
Yes.
And then you take it offline and you say, oh, you're going to an event next week.
What she feels, which is amazing, is there's that gap, because like I feel this way. I'm very much an introvert who just plays an extrovert on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like, I hate people for the most part. Yeah. Yeah. I'm so terrible. No, but I have a hard time, like to your point, I connect with people and it's only if I know that I have, like, this is a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to suck it up and just go have the coffee in the morning with a stranger and just do it. I literally, like, I get like a mini panic attack going on behind the scene when I'm walking into the coffee shop to a stranger, even though it's somebody like I know online. Like, I just, I have a hard time. And I know for a fact that if we would have done it in a different way, if it wouldn't have been like a mini interview, I would be fine. Like if you're like, oh, hey, you know what? I'm gonna actually go to the gym. I'm gonna go play some basketball. Like, if you want to play ball with us, like, come.
Totally.
Yeah.
Think about like how low stakes that is. Mm-hmm. It's like if you're engaging with someone or meeting someone over giving back to students at Chicago Tech, or if you know you're like, you know, the new axe throwing company.
Yeah,
like if you're throwing axes at a wall, you can't take yourself too seriously.
Yeah.
Right. But finding out like ways that aren't just so superficial of here's a card or hey, let me pitch you. How can we actually socialize, engage, and get to know one another before being like, hey, I'm a great person and let me tell you why.
I also think you will walk away from the experience knowing a lot more about the person, about their character, about everything, and feeling more comfortable to do work with them quicker.
Yeah.
Like so, if I leave that, I feel better.
Just a tactical question. So as a professional on the platform, do I share my calendar with people so that they can kind of opt into different events that I'm going to, or how does it really work?
Yeah. So the way that it works is that you see all the events that we curate and we host at our different venue partners. So from there, you're able to RSVP, and then you can see who else is RSVPing. So if you want to reach out to someone and say, hey, I'm going to this too, we'd love to connect with you at the event, or you could just show up and like connect with people at the event, right?
I think
so
that's great.
How it works.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of this stuff like tied in with the stuff you're doing with all of the different like volunteer time.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a better place to connect with somebody than that. Like, I mean, I don't volunteer often, but like if I did,
you in there, Scott.
I would.
Yeah. And like one thing I'm also really
this
excited
is a volunteer.
About.
Technori has been a volunteer.
There you go. Yeah, right.
To be, let's,
you
know, let's be serious.
You got to give back.
Let's be serious. I am volunteering. I don't see any returns.
But I worked at Ernst & Young right out of college. Huge company, huge organization. And I worked in the ITRA group, which is Information Technology Risk and Assurance. That's why we did all acronyms in consulting, because all the names were way too long. But what was really interesting was that most of the people that I knew were in ITRA, right? So it's like, how can we even help companies help their employees to have cross-functional relationships? Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things that could come out of that, right? If you have different service lines or different product groups coming together over a social experience, shooting the shit, the next you know, oh, wait, you do this? Oh, maybe we can collaborate. Maybe we can talk. Mm-hmm. So we even see a value in bringing together different groups within a company or organization.
I would love to see the math on this. I would bet everything I've got that deal flow and
retention,
deal close, retention
sales,
gets slammed way sooner than anything that goes through. Like, there are people that I know that I've seen in networking events over the last 5 years, and I've at this point, it's purposeful. I've never done shit with him, and I never will. Like, and I see him at the same stuff. Hey, how are you? Good to see you. We should do something. Oh, yeah. You're so fake.
I love it.
The fuck out of here.
Get out of my face. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Yeah. No chance.
You'd be like, yeah, yeah. No.
Not the guys I saw last night. Right. Not you guys. Right. Somebody else. But in all seriousness, like, it just would make a huge difference. So with that said, I want to get some tangibles here. So on your side, give me the best thing a person like me who has a hard time fitting into a group, like whether I do use 5 to 9 or I am just going out to network.
Yeah.
What are some things that I can do to just sort of make it easier on both me and, more importantly, make it easier on the person I'm about to accost?
Right. So, you know, through our research, one thing that we found was that people do have a lot of anxiety going into events. This is not just for the introvert. This is also for the extrovert, like me. I am very extroverted. Yes. Even when I go into a networking event, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. Oh, I don't want to have to introduce myself. Like, there's literally, you have to work yourself into it. So the reason why we created our platform, because before we didn't have like a physical platform, it was a newsletter that was sent out, and now it's, you can actually see who's going. So we're hoping that that like gives people kind of like an in, right? So, oh, I see you're going here and we have mutual interest in this.
Yep.
So then that's something that you can bring up very naturally. Like, hey, I saw you in the RSVP list. I see that you also volunteer at X, or I see that you also, you know, give your time back at Technori, at Technori. So that's one thing I think that really can help, is just helping people find what is that mutual thing we can connect about, right? Or one of my favorites, if I don't know anything about you, is if we're both in line for the food. Hey, doesn't this food look great, right? It's kind of like that little small talk to make an introduction that kind of shows off your personality, like if you want to make a joke,
right.
If you want to just bring it up because you don't know what else to bring up, and then things flow from there. So
what is your advice on the worst things that people do? Stuff to stop doing.
Oh my goodness. So the worst thing to do is like to come right up and just like throw your card at people. I've seen that, and literally I will just throw your card away. Like, if you didn't even want to get the time to know me or other people in the circle, and you made it all about you, don't make it all about you. Ask questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ask a question before you just start spouting off things.
I'm going to circle back to that one in a second. I'm going to kick over to Beth on what is the worst and or best networking experience you've had. You can do both or one or the other, whichever you want.
Oh, gosh. I think, you know, worsts are always where you're just not feeling it, right? Like, for me, there's no specific interaction where I just thought, oh, my God, that was hell. And
it's like a lot of first dates I went on.
Yeah. It's just it's when either you're stressed out and you don't want to be at the event. So those are the worst ones, I guess, for me internally, when I just don't feel it.
Yeah.
Best, I think, are the ones that are just off the cuff. Like, you didn't plan for it to be a networking event night.
Yeah.
You were doing something socially, and it just turned out that, you know, it was such a natural flow of events that you got to know a lot of really incredible people. So it's unplanned are the best ones for me.
Beth, I have a question for you. I have to ask this, because it's International Women's Day, and we're keeping it real.
Let's do it.
Have you been at an event where, like, a man just came up to you and was like, I am going to hit on you and I'm going to act like this is for business, but really what I want is...
Hashtag me too.
Oh my goodness. That is like some of my worst experiences.
It's so
like,
great point.
Yeah.
The sexual harassment is still very real, alive, and well. But certainly I am one of those people. My mother is a West Point graduate. She's a badass bitch.
Yes.
And immediately you do something to assault them back, whether it's verbally or... Don't fuck with me.
That's where you just literally turn around like, your business is too small, buddy.
And you just keep I bought the domain showmeyourdeck.com a while ago, because I was like,
purchase.
How big is your idea?
Show me your deck.
I like that.
I like that. If you want an investment in that one, I am.
Yeah, great.
I will volunteer there as well.
Pitch deck consultant.
Yes.
That is, no, I'm not kidding. That's like, one, a great idea, and two, that domain with the right marketing behind it, you could
exactly
sell. I've seen domains like that sell for $100,000. I'm not even shitting you. Not kidding.
Show me your deck.
Yeah. Don't be creepy, guys. And don't use LinkedIn as a dating tool. It's not a dating tool.
Is this a passive aggressive way of talking to me about when I talk to you at WeWork? I feel like I just got comeuppance.
What did you talk about?
I drank a lot of wine that night. I don't know. I don't
it's
think
not
I
for
did.
You. It's not about you.
If
it's
I did
just in general.
If I did, I don't believe in apology. No, I'm just kidding. No, If I did, I must be the worst ever at it, because that was the conversation that I remember having. Was just like so crazy that's and so funny.
No, you
like,
were chill. You were good. She's here. You were good.
Well, that
it wasn't
mean,
like, you know, oh, let me get your card so that I could get you your number and then
well,
text
I have a fiance,
you.
So I definitely was out of the game on that one. But no, I did. I want to make. I really don't want to come across that way with people.
No,
so
you,
like I,
no, you were chill.
Being clear.
Yeah. Keeping it real. You were good. You were good. Don't be worried.
Storyboard.
No, I'm like,
I'm like, Me Too has men paranoid. It's okay.
No, they should. That's the point. That's the whole point. I mean, I feel like, in all jokes aside, like I feel like for business, I've always come across as close to asexual as I can. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that in like an offensive manner. Yeah. It's just like, I'm not here for that. Yeah, me too. I'm not here. Like, that's, I'm here to like, get business done, right?
Yep.
It's, and you know, I just think it's inappropriate. But to circle back into more of a, bring a little levity into this situation, get me back to some calm waters here. No, the best networking that I've encountered, and this you guys will both get a kick out of this, I think, is, and you've all been there, is like three random people happen to be like, let's see, a color coded something, whatever. So you're all sitting in a circle, three or four people, and then the two losers bow out. And you're stuck with the other person you were making eyes with, like, holy shit, will this ever end? And then the two people bow out because they're stupid and wandering off to bother other people. And you have the best conversation with a person you had absolutely never intended to be in front of.
Yeah.
Best ever.
Oh, you know what? Proximity. They had a really good...
The Proximity app is great for that,
Yeah. But when they connect people who look at each other and think they have no business talking to each other. I was in an event. It was probably Fun Conference or whatever. And they show you the initials of people you should chat with. And they paired this older guy with this young college student. And I was talking to him at the time, and he rolled his eyes. He was kind of annoyed by the fact that he was now going to have to pivot and talk to this, you know, younger guy. What could this kid possibly know? They ended up having the most amazing conversation about this shared interest that they didn't know they had. So shout out to Proximity.
Yeah, they were Technori alumni company. Yeah. So I'm glad to see that things are working there. The funniest, I'll leave it on the funny note here. The best like exit from a shitty networking experience that I've had, I recommend this highly. Although if everyone steals it, then I can't do anymore. We all know that like long walk up, you see the person, they've been standing near you. They want to come up, you know, and they're like spotting up to you and you see it. Right. And so like, you walk, they're kind of walking up and you're walking like, shit, this is going to happen. What I do is I look up to them. I immediately like pull my phone and be like, do you know where, and I just like name like some kind of random address, like I'm trying to get whatever, and then I bolt.
From now on, you know, if Scott looks to you and asks for an address, he did not.
You just gave away all your secrets today.
No, but here's the best part. Here's the best part. I'm going to still do it. Like, this is going to change nothing at all. This is why I wanted to have you in here. This is a great topic. It's an important topic. It's like the majority of business does not take place online yet. Like it's still in person.
Yeah, totally.
Relationships is everything. So I love what you're doing with 5 to 9. I want to make sure people can check it out and give it a whirl. We should definitely set something up where we use it and go do some stuff.
Hell yeah.
With you.
Get it on some events.
Yeah,
civic engagement.
Yes.
Yeah. You two need to connect after this and get this done.
Yeah.
Where do people go to use 5 to 9 to learn more about it, all that stuff?
Yeah. So if you want to check out 5 to 9, you can come to our website, which is 529.co. So that's FIVETONINE.co. 5 to 9.co.
Spell it out.
I know. I was like, wait, I got this.
That
it's like
extra
all
M costs like a mil. That's the problem. So you got that .co going on.
I know.
No, very cool. And then when's the next event?
So our next event is actually coming up next week.
Which would be which
so
date?
We're going to be going to Bar Cocina, which is this really great place up north where you can get tacos and tequila. And who doesn't love tacos and tequila? Well, so come check us out.
I love it. Is there anyone there who has good directions? In case I need to ask people where to go.
Yeah. Or, you know, Google Maps. Like, it's pretty decent, too.
It's not like I work for a tech thing. Fine. Awesome. Jasmine, thank you so much for taking the time and coming in here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course.
Sure.
Anytime.
And we got to get that WGN After Dark.
We should. That's I feel like that's a live stream on social only.
Maybe that's
thing.
Like a WeWork thing. They'd be into that.
I mean,
you know, it's funny you mentioned
dark.
That. I have something going on that we're working on with such a thing. So we will definitely circle back on that one. You can catch this episode of more at technori.com. Download the podcast on iTunes and stay connected. Following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon, or follow Beth Bond at
Beth Bond.
Boom. That's a wrap.